Let me just leave something with you. So the lawyer approaches Jesus and he says, what is the greatest, what is the most important commandment? Jesus quotes to him and says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your strength. He didn't stop there. He says, and the second is likened unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't have time to go to all the scriptures that point to this primary principle. But maybe I'll go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Though, put it up on the screen, Mark, why not? Though I speak with the men of tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, have all faith, so I can move mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. I know that in our carnal, natural world, and, you know, when we are leading individuals to a born-again experience, a new birth experience, it is to be birthed into a spiritual kingdom, a supernatural realm. And, of course, we consider the things that were spoken by Jesus, that after we would receive the Holy Ghost, we would receive power. There would be a power that would come upon us, and that we would be witnesses throughout the world. Oftentimes, our focal point, or what we are directed to, are those things that are of power, of supernatural. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you about a power, a supernatural power. That's to love the unlovable. The end run of us receiving all that we receive in the power of God is that our lives would become transformed, that the power of love, which is the Spirit of God, would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I know that sometimes we give a lot of attention, again, to supernatural giftings and all of these things that would take us above the natural realm. But I'm going to tell you something. The deepest place we'll go is when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God is manifested and has great power over evil, over hate, over so many things. Let it be the end run. Amen. Brother Johnston.
Brother Randy, hold that thought, okay? The enemy is waging all-out war against the people of God. I don't want to say against the church, because we are the church. We're the bride of Christ, we're the body of Christ, and he is waging war against the body of Christ. Now, you say, how is he doing that? Because in our natural minds, when we think of him waging war, we think of guns and ammo and tanks and military vehicles and military might. But that's not the kind of war that the enemy is waging against the church. But it's a silent war. It's a secretive war. It's a divisive war. It's a war that I engage in on a daily basis, and I'm either I'm victorious in or I'm defeated by on a daily basis. It's the war against the body of Christ is not a single battle that we enter into where we're all sitting here prepping for the war and going through boot camp, and we're all in boot camp here today, and we're all getting ready, and we're going to go out and we're going to fight the enemy tomorrow or next week, or we know that the battle is coming and he's moving over the horizon and we're prepping the troops. That's not the kind of war that it is. The kind of war starts the minute that I get up in the morning and wake up. And for some of us, it starts through the night as he wages war against our minds, our spirits, and our dreams, our visions, and all the things that we battle against. It's, some of us feel like we live constantly at war against the enemy in our members, our faculties. So there's the war, but there's these little skirmishes that transpire. I would liken it in a natural sense to rounds of a fight. I haven't watched a lot of fighting in my history. I don't have a whole lot of fight history except for some very precious friends of mine who I count very valuable. Instagram lived the last fight with McGregor and whoever that other guy was. So I got to watch that fight. It was one of the first fights I ever watched to completion. And I watched as the bouts went around each round and how they began to interact and how it was like in the first few rounds, it looked like Conor McGregor was just going to wipe the floor with this guy. And the other guy was just kind of, you know, playing around and just toying, you know. And I'm thinking, you're going to get killed. And then as the rounds carried on, you got past round five and round six, it was like, the tide began to turn and the other guy came alive. And I see the war that's waged by the enemy against me like rounds in a fight. And there's some days that I get up and I am absolutely victorious. I get up and the first thing I do is put my boxing gloves on and I tie them up and I strap them up and I'm ready to go. I start the day off. I'm drinking my coffee with my boxing gloves on. I'm in the Holy Ghost. And there's other days that I get up and I'm like, those can stay right there. The coffee will do. And I get pounded by the enemy. He bombards my mind. He bombards my spirits. And I by lunchtime, I'm feeling defeated. By dinner time, I'm ready to get up. And by the time I put the kids to bed, I'm backslid. Talking about the battlefield of the mind. And he comes at us with so many different things and so many different facets of our lives. He uses different things against all of us. Because the things that work on me don't necessarily work on you. And I could share with you my weaknesses and my failures, and some of you would laugh at me and like, why do you have the mic today? And I could hand the mic to you and let you talk about some of our weaknesses. And I'd be like, man, grow up. Because each of us have our own battles and we have our own weaknesses. And so he uses different tactics on each of us. But one of the battles that he's waging against the church, against the body of Christ, is trying to dilute and water down what it means to have the love of God in our hearts. Now, I begin to read some scriptures. The Lord began to show me some things early this week in the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And I begin to read these things. And I've sat down several times, once including last night, to try to understand these and compile these things, and it's burning inside of me, and I can't seem to make heads or tails of anything. The Lord has not allowed me to even put scriptures together, so we're just going to read a few scriptures today in your hearing, and we're going to see what the Lord's going to talk to us about from those things. But what I'm beginning to see and what I'm beginning to feel is this idea that we perceive the love of God as something that's compassionate. As something that is, it comes alongside us and assists us. You know, somebody wrote a song, you know, wrap me in your arms, take me to that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. And it's talking about the love of God. And you know what it feels like as a human being to be wrapped in an embrace. You know what it feels like when you're having a bad day and somebody just slips up beside you and puts their arm around you, or maybe sees you coming and opens their arms and holds you or hugs you. And each of us have had an experience where you just feel like somebody needs a hug, and you walk over and you put your arm around them, and maybe you just begin to embrace them. And just by the touch of your embrace, they begin to break down and weep. And they were going through something, and it was the love of God that was being imparted to them through you, that begin to minister to them, and you begin to show them the love of God, not just your love, through that action. And that is the love of God. That is a component of the love of God. See, the enemy began to pollute the love of God. And in Christianity today, it's kind of become all about the love. In such a polluted, sickening way. We sing about the love of God as though it's, and I say we, in Christianity, we sing about the love of God. As Christians, we sing about the love of God as though it's something just so far out there, as though it's euphoric. And people now, it's like they got to create an ambiance, and they got to have the lights at the right level, and they got to have the right keys and the right synthesizer setting, and because they want you to feel the love of God. They're going to sing to you about He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. They're going to take their shoes and socks off and sing it barefooted, because that's what God was talking about when He was talking to Moses in the wilderness, right? Take off your shoes from where you're standing is holy ground. I don't think that's what God had in mind. He was talking about a supernatural experience. He was showing Himself. He was revealing Himself to a man. And He said, listen, this is a supernatural place. Take your shoes off. This is holy ground. This burning bush, it's not consumed. This is a supernatural experience. Prepare yourself for it. I don't think He had ripped up jeans, barefoot wearing t-shirt, crazy haired men strumming guitar singing, He loves us. I know I'm offending some of you right now, but we're going somewhere today. The love of God is more than Goo Goo Gaga. The love of God is more than something that I sway with my arms wide open to. But that's what the enemy has perverted the love of God to. This is part of the all-out war He's waged against the church. Because, see, if He turns the love of God into that mess, then the love loses its power. The love of God loses its authority and its dominion that it possesses in our life. What are you talking about? The scripture says that perfect love casts out all fear. Does that sound like kumbaya, Lord? Does that sound like the love of God to you? When He says that love has the ability, fear is an incredible force. It's an incredible force of the enemy that He uses to paralyze people and keep people from reaching their full potential in life and in the kingdom of God. And the scripture says that the love of God, when it becomes shed abroad in our hearts, that it has the ability to throw fear out, to push it out, take authority over it by the manifestation of His love in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost, supernatural power, supernatural authority. That's the love of God. Not kumbaya guitar strum songs. Now, here's the portion of scripture I want to draw your attention to today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation so they can throw it up there in KJV and you can follow along. I like what it says in KJV, but I like better how the New Living Translation says this. Do not, verse 15, do not love this world. I think the KJV says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The New Living Translation says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Or in the New Living Translation, it says, you do not have the love of the Father in you. What do I see? Put your seatbelt on because you're about to get offended again. What do I see? When I see people who perpetrate an adulterated love of God in ministry, I don't see a love of God in them. I see a love for the world in them. They're broadcasting the world. They're broadcasting the spirit of the world. And so the love of the Father is not in them. And thus they pollute the love of the Father because they show or try to put a front on as though this is the love. What you're feeling right now is the love of God. No, what you're feeling is the same emotion you felt the day you met your wife. It's called infatuation. You weren't in love with your wife the first day you met her. You were attracted to her. You're like, ooh, there's a beautiful woman. I want to marry her. Your mom and dad said, you're crazy. You've known her a day. But I love her. No, you don't. You're infatuated with her. You're in love with the idea of her. Love's a process. Love doesn't happen overnight. You fall in love with somebody. Anybody here ever fell? Anybody ever fell from a high point? Anybody here ever fell? And when you're falling, you're like the cat. You're trying to find something to grab onto. And it's like eternity. Your whole life's flashing before your eyes as you fall. He said, if you love the world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. And all that the world has to offer you, the things that the world wants you to fall in love with. Verse 16 says, here he says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. Verse 16 says, for the world, here's what the world has to offer you. It offers only a craving for physical pleasure. A craving for everything that we see. The love of the world only wants what makes me feel good. When I say, I love pumpkin pie, that is not the love of God. I don't love pumpkin pie, by the way, but some do. That is not the love of God that's loving pumpkin pie through me, Brother Berglund. That is my flesh that enjoys pumpkin pie. Speaking and saying, I love pumpkin. Oh, I love pumpkin pie. I'd do anything for a pumpkin pie with some whipped cream on top. I love Dr. Pepper. It's my favorite drink. I only drink Dr. Pepper. I love Dr. Pepper. It's a craving. That's what the love of the world. It's a craving for physical pleasure. If anybody here had a craving? I mean, you just... Man, if I just had a McDonald's cheeseburger right now, them fries. If I just had me some barbecued ribs. If I just had me a big, juicy Ram restaurant cheeseburger. Whatever you crave, you've craved it. Man, I'd like, honey, can you make some spaghetti tonight? I've been craving spaghetti all day. Make some noodles and sauce. It's a craving, and that's born out of my love for the world. That's what the world offers me, is a craving for more of it. The love of the world doesn't create in me a desire for God or the things of God. And so if I find myself constantly being attracted to this world and the things of this world, and I find myself constantly fighting and clawing to stay away from the things of this world, then that's my first sign that the love of the Father is not in me. It offers, after a craving for physical pleasure, it offers a craving for everything we see. Wow. You ever been in the store with a kid? In the toy aisle? Or the candy aisle? You wanna make time stand still, take your kid to the candy store and tell them they can have anything they want, but they can only have one. Oh, no. Oh. Everything they see, they want. They walk down the aisle. I want that. Okay, that's what you want. Yeah. Oh, wait, I want that. Oh, no, I want that. Everything they see, they want. Because they've not yet learned self-control. We're trying to teach them as parents self-control. You can't have everything. You don't get everything you want. Life's not fair. But when the love of the world, or as we call it sometimes in church, a love for the world. I don't know that it's a love for the world. It is the love of this world. It's not the love of God. It's the deluded love of God. It's what's been portrayed to us as a love of God, but it's really the love of the world, the spirit of the world. When it is evident in us, it causes us to want everything we see. I don't know if it's just me. Probably is, so put this in your notebook for later. My Instagram account is so full of advertisements nowadays. And I'm not talking for junk I don't want. I'm not talking about stupid as seen on TV knickknacks. I'm talking about stuff I'm interested in. Ooh, I'd like to have that. Oh, I like that. Oh, Mercedes for Christmas with a red bow. Honey. And it's feeding me through these two eyes, through these two portals right here. It's just feeding my soul with want. I decided a couple of weeks ago, I don't even say anything to my wife about this, but I decided that I'm going to unfollow anything, you know, because you find on, I need a shield for a second, on Pinterest, you know, you get feeds, and they find out what you like, Tuscany, and they start sending you things, you know, Z cars restored. Square bodies restored. Gotta have one. We share a love for the same kind of cars. And they'll feed you. They'll just feed you that. It's called a feed, right? Your news feed, right? They just feed you. Oh, you like that? Have some more. Oh, you clicked. You like that? Here, have some more. And it just feeds you and feeds you and feeds you and feeds you and feeds you until everything you see you want. That's the love of the world. It offers us, they call it in the KJV, the pride of life. But in the New Living Translation, it calls this pride in our achievements. You know, we live our lives. Some of us won't identify with this, some of us will. This may hurt for some, for others, I understand. All any child ever wants to hear from their father is, good job, son. Good job, daughter. I'm proud of you. Proud of who you become. I'm proud of the person that you are. I'm proud of your accomplishments. I'm proud of these things. You want to please your father. You want to please your mother. You know, you hear your parents talking about you. To their friends, you know, oh, we're so proud of our kids. We're so proud of, you know, and you want that. Oh, yeah, feels good. Oh, keep talking, Dad. Because it's inherent in all of us. He's not my dad, but he's my father-in-law. I don't want him to be like, oh, that kid. Nobody wants that. I don't want that of my own father. Yeah, I got a son, but my goodness. I got a daughter, but my Lord, I'm not sure what I did wrong there, you know. Nobody wants that. And so we look to work and to do things and accomplish things so that we're people are proud of us, but that we're also proud of ourselves. And I'm honest with you today. I'm always honest with you. I'm probably honest to a fault with you. I find pride in my achievements. Man, I've accomplished something in life. I convinced somebody to marry me. I'm accomplished. I'm able to provide for her. I'm pretty proud as a man. I'm able to provide for her. I'm proud of that. That's not the love of God at work in me. These are things that are so natural to us. It's so quiet because some of you were so shocked that we're even talking about this today. But this is the word of God. These are things that become stumbling blocks to me in the receiving of the real love, genuine love of God in our lives. Because when I embrace the love of God in my life and I allow the love of God to be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, it pushes all of these things out. And it puts me in a position of being pure and holy before Him, emptied out before Him. One more thing. It doesn't say this in the KJV. It just says pride of life, but we talked about the pride and achievements. It also says pride and possessions. What I have, what I can get my hands on. Looking for more. What can I get? He who dies with the most toys wins. I played golf with a man a couple of years ago. I was so disgusted by hole three that I was trying to find a way to sneak off in the brush and get back to my truck and leave. And if we hadn't been playing in a tournament where we started on, like, the 11th hole, I probably would have, but I wasn't sure how to get back because I never played the golf course before. And I was too scared to get hit by a golf ball cutting across golf course or fairway, so I just hung out until we got to the clubhouse, and then I said, man, I got an emergency. I got to go. It was me and him, and he had invited two of his clients. And from the moment we got in the cart, he felt the need to tell them everything that he had. Everything. I got this and I got that. I bought this. Have you seen this? Did you see that? I got this and I got access to this and I have this and I have that and I've done this and I bought this and I did that. And that went on for 30 or 40 minutes. And I could tell his client was uncomfortable, almost as uncomfortable as I was. And it was like, we came out here to play golf today, not to talk about all your accomplishments. But he felt the need to make sure everyone knew what he had so that we understood where his status was among us. You know what? I really liked that guy up until that point. I didn't even care what he had or didn't have. I genuinely liked him. I thought he was a nice guy. You know what? It didn't make me like him anymore, him telling me all that. In fact, I was probably ready to hang out with him less after that. But the scripture tells us that the love of the world puts a pride of achievements and possessions in our hearts. That's the world's love. Wanting everything that we see and all the things that the scripture describes to us today. But he says, he wraps it up with this. These things are not from the Father. Wait a minute. What about the message that says, God loves you? He loves you so much, and he wants to give you everything you want. You came here today, and you got out of bed, and God loves you for that. And if you need a new car, God's going to give that to you today in Jesus' name because he loves you, and he's going to bless you. Raise your hand right now and receive that. You ought to be proud of... Hold on. Those are things I've actually heard from preachers. That's not the love of God. That's the love of the world. Those things don't come from the Father. But what comes from the Father is peace, contentment. Two Wednesday nights ago, we read the scriptures together about from Paul. I know how to abound. I know how to have plenty. I know how to have little. I know how to suffer. I know how to be in need. I know how to hunger. And all these things I've decided that in whatsoever state I am therewith, I'll be content. Listen to what he says in verse 17, and I'm about finished up here. This world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. All the stuff that the love of the world puts in us and wants us to pursue and wants us to look like and wants us to be like, and all of those things that we get ourselves caught up in and we fill our lives full of, all of those things, he said, they're all going to fade away. They're all going to come to naught at some point. Bishop, the scriptures you begin to read in 1 Corinthians 13, if you read that, he says, listen, all these things are going to fade. They're going to come to an end. They're all going to cease at some point, but one thing that's not going to cease is the love of God. Those that are of his kingdom, they're not going to cease. They're not going to come to naught. I don't know what it takes for me and the Lord, but I want my focus to be on eternity. I want his love shed abroad in my heart, and so much that my focus becomes on eternity and eternal things. Because the war that's being waged by the enemy is trying to get our attention onto temporal things. I'm not talking about something here today, and I know for some you're really wrestling because you're in your mind you're going, this is so hard. This is everything about me. I know we're all the same. Can't nobody stand up here today and say, I've conquered the world. Come up here, let me lay hands on you, and the love of God will overtake you, the love of the world will disappear, and you will no longer want anything, and you'll walk to church 20 miles one way uphill in the snow. You won't desire a vehicle. You'll trust the Lord. There's nobody here that can do that. We're human. He created us with desire. So it takes his grace to daily crucify my flesh with its affections and lusts. And to be aware of what is propagated to me as the love of God. Oh, don't get me wrong. God loves us. He loves us so incredibly much that he gave his life for us. And he fills us with his love. And when I'm filled with the love of God, I know when the love of God is evident in my life, when it's filled in me, because I begin to love people that I don't want to love. And I begin to try to help people that I necessarily wouldn't. People say, why are you doing that? Why are you? It's the love of God that's at work in me. I know when the love of God's evident in me because I don't, I could care less about the things of this world. A couple Sunday nights ago, we made a trip to Olympia. Brother Heiner and I were talking. We were on the subject of, you know, kneeling in the NFL. So that's a big O issue. You know, who cares? I used to care a lot. I'm going to make a statement here. It's going to shock some of you. I love football. Football's been a part of my life since I was just a little boy. But you know what? Something's been different this year. As we were talking, I thought it was all about all the chaos around there. But the more that we talked about it, and then we went our separate ways that night, and I kind of kept thinking about our conversation, I began to realize, you know, the more I fall in love with Jesus, and the more his love is shed abroad in my heart, there's just a lot of things that I don't dislike it anymore. I can just take it or leave it. If it's there, great. If I'm going to go to Kent instead of watching a football game, great. If I'm going to spend time with my family instead of watching the Ducks on Saturday night, great. It used to be, guess my wife. I'm busy Saturday night at 7 o'clock, 7:10 p.m. until 10:10. I'm busy. Kids can watch it with me, but I'm busy. Is there anything wrong with that? No. I never felt convicted about that. I'm not meaning to convict anybody else today about that. I'm just sharing my personal story, okay? I never felt convicted about any of that. But I've just noticed as I get closer to Jesus and I allow his love, real, true love, the love that suffereth long and is kind, his love that is gentle and puts up with me and all my failures. That when I really begin to receive that love, it's like everything else just kind of just takes second place. All the things that used to be passions of mine. I love this. Just, yeah, it's great. I still enjoy watching football. Everybody's taking a nap on a Sunday afternoon. I'm sitting in the chair by myself. My phone's got the NFL app on it. I might fall asleep to it. But it doesn't take priority in my life. Why is that? Because I'm in a season of life where I feel like his love for the first time is beginning to take priority. Now, that's applicable. It's applicable to anything. I'm confessing to you about football. But the Lord's probably talking to you about something completely different today. What becomes our priority and what we put in first place, and maybe it's my job. Maybe it's possessions. Maybe it's the pride in my achievements. Whatever it is that gets between me and God that comes first, when I allow his love to be shed abroad in my heart, it starts to push all that stuff out. I'm learning what it is to be loved by God, truly loved by God, truly allow him to love me. I'm not talking about just the, oh, wrap your arms around me, Jesus, I want to feel love. But to truly let his love envelop me, change me, overtake me, so that all I want is him. We
read verses in the Gospels about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Take no thought what you shall eat. Take no thought wherewithal you shall be clothed. And take no thought for this and take no thought for that. We're like, whoo, hallelujah. It's impossible to do it without allowing God to love you and allowing his love to overtake you. It's impossible. I can't have the love of the world in me and love the world and have that. Just those two, they conflict each other. That's conflicting information. Why don't you stand right now? Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, help us to receive your love today. Not the love that the world calls your love, but your love today that is depicted in Scripture, Father. Oh, let that love overtake us today, Father. Let us receive that love today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You see, he creates us. People say the term, there's a God hole in us. There's a place that only he can fill. Really, what they're saying is there's a desire in all of us to be loved. I want to be loved by my wife. I want to be loved by my parents. I want to be loved by my children. I want my children to love me. My children want to be loved by me. My children do things so that I'll give them affection. They do cute things. Daddy, watch me. Watch what I can do. Because their desire is to be loved by me. My children go to bed at night and they get upset if I haven't given them a hug and a kiss because they like what they feel. They feel that love. And this is why the love of the world that's in us, it's an attempt at fulfilling the desire for the love of God. It's masked as though it's the love of God, but it's an attempt to replace the love of God. But it's because the love of God is irreplaceable, it just keeps us pursuing, gathering, and it's never satisfied. Never satisfied. And that's why people drive themselves into all kinds of debt, enormity of all kinds of things in an attempt to fill a hole that really only God can fill and his love can fill. I wonder if you'd lift your hands right now. Talk to the Lord about your situation. Talk to him about your circumstances. Talk to him about your life today. You know where your life's at. You know what you've lived in pursuit of. You know what he's done and is doing in you. Would you talk to him about that right now? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know my frame, Father. You know my frame, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
First John 3:14, if you would, please. Here's the goal. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. My ability to love the brethren, my ability to love even the not so lovable, my ability to love just anyone, allowing the expression of God's love, is all held up when in whether I am seeking to preserve my life or I've become willing to lose my life that I might find it. This is the end run. This is the goal. And I pass from death to spiritual life when I'm able to love the brethren the way that he's asking of me. Amen. Lord, we're thankful for your word today, the ministry of your spirit, and we hold fast to the promises of God that the nature of Christ would be produced in us, that the nature of Christ would be produced in us. We understand, 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we or understand we the love of God, and that he laid down his life for us, gave up his way. Not my will, thine be done. Lose my life for his sake. Hereby perceive we the love of God when he laid down his life for us. So ought we to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's love in action or inaction. Praise God. We thank you for the love of God today, Father, and for your word and the promises of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Would you turn and greet somebody? Make an expression.